Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our reflection this morning is from our gospel lesson. John the Baptist asks, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" This is the word of our Lord. You may be seated. We expect public figures to be confident and consistent. We expect to know where they stand and to remain true and assured of those convictions. And a surefire way to derail one's public reputation is to flip-flop on a position, to demonstrate some flimsy conviction, or worse yet, express feelings of doubt. We expect confidence from the voices that have captured public attention. Such an expectation is what makes John the Baptist's question today so startling. John had exploded onto the Judean scene looking like something of a wild man, and his proclamation was equally wild and unmistakably confident. "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's bold confidence. And it wasn't born out of some kind of self-aggrandizement on John's part. He confidently acknowledged he was not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. He was simply the messenger. And when Jesus came alongside him one day, John declared, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Certainly was not pointing the attention toward himself. Nevertheless, John was a giant of a public figure in his day, and he demonstrated all the requisite confidence you'd expect. And that's what makes his admission of doubt so jarring. From a prison cell, which he earned for confidently challenging the morality of the king, we are somewhat shocked to hear him ask of Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" What an unexpected question. Not from the fickle crowds, but one from one who was so faith-filled. That question about Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" plays an important role throughout the gospel narrative, and it is certainly an important question for our times as well. Adapted for our current use these days, we might ask, is faith in Jesus the one real truth? Is it worth following him, worth my time? Is it worth the cost of discipleship, worth the possibility of public ridicule? Or shall we look for something else? Something more popular, more progressive, more politically inclusive, more supposedly enlightened? Well, there is no doubt that in our rapidly shifting and media-driven narrative of our culture, those questions are being asked over and over again, and by all accounts, the answer being declared in reply in droves is to say no to Jesus as the one and to look for something else. Scores of people are starting to look elsewhere or simply nowhere, content instead with just temporal or temporary distractions that are offered up in every imaginable form in the postmodern world. No real surprise there. The public is, as it has always been, very fickle and easily swayed. But to be honest, the current cultural noise is growing so loud, the criticism of Christianity growing so pervasive, that I suspect it is likely to be a question on the hearts and minds of the faithful as well. We ourselves are not imprisoned as John was, but doesn't it seem like we are expected to lock the faith away from public view more and more? And such constricting pressure can stir even faithful hearts toward doubt. It appears to have done so to John the Baptist. It could do so to us. But thankfully, this morning, we hear again how Jesus responds to the question, "Are you the one?" And he does so by encouraging John's friends to take a look around at what's happening in Jesus' presence. What is being demonstrated? The blind are given sight. The injured are healed. New life is given where there had been death. In other words, the power of God is at work. John's disciples are encouraged to recognize what is happening around them while Jesus is present in the world. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, we too can look around. The power of God is at work here at Trinity, to be sure. The blind see. Luther writes in the Small Catechism that we are all born spiritually blind. Indeed, we are. But here, day by day, another generation of children are learning to see that the child celebrated at Christmas is Jesus, the very Savior of the world. You should have heard the cries of no last Wednesday night when Pastor Jennings asked the grade school children if Christmas was really all about the presents. They get it. In their young age, they are already coming to see and believe the truth about this child's birth. The injured receive healing care here. A student shared with one of our teachers recently that here in school is where she feels the most content, most safe, most cared for. At a time in her life when the hours outside of school are filled with chaos and commotion. And this is not an isolated situation in our troubled world or even in our troubled community. And yet here we are enabled without reservation or apology to bring the love of Christ into everything we do and teach, to care for the injured. That love permeates throughout this ministry of healing in many and various ways. And new life is given right here. Not by us, by the power of God. Just last weekend, we celebrated 5 baptisms at that very font. One, a child newly born. The other 4, a mother and her 3 young children, all coming to the waters of holy baptism together to receive the sacramental promise of new life in Christ right here. And just as Jesus could have done in his day, so we can do in ours. The illustrations of God at work go on and on and on. And Jesus' concluding evidence to John's disciples ought to be recognized among us as well. The good news is preached to the poor, for we are all the poor in spirit. But here, that is our daily, 7 day a week, daily bread. The good news, the gospel of salvation by faith in Christ, is preached and taught and studied and confessed and embraced and celebrated day after day after day, every single day of the week, right here. Here, the good news is lived out among us in acknowledging our sins and our need of a Savior, confessing those sins, hearing the profound words of absolution. Here we see that Jesus is the one who carried all of those sins upon himself and is the true and only source of our new life. Here we come to the table to partake in that sacrifice. Jesus is indeed the one. We have no need to look for another. And while that is surely not universally acknowledged in our cynical and arrogant era, we can readily see ample evidence of God at work in our midst. And so, we continue to hear his word, to receive his gifts, and thereby experience the work of the Holy Spirit, as our Lord has promised. Now, during his earthly ministry, Jesus knew that the good news would not be embraced by all. There would be fierce and relentless opposition, and the same is surely evident in our times. Jesus' word of comfort to those sent by John is an important word of assurance and an encouragement for us too. He said, "Blessed is the one who is not offended by me." Many, many are offended. Offended by the declaration of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. Offended by the thought that we ought to be called sinners in need of a Savior. The cross of Jesus Christ is a stumbling block as much today as it was when it was first erected, and he died upon it. Many are offended that we ourselves are not the highest form of authority, not even over our own lives. But so it is in God's design. In the face of all of that resistance, rejection, and offense, blessed are you who rather rejoice in the comfort that was declared by the prophet Isaiah, the comfort of sins forgiven and the blessing of God's favor restored. Blessed are you who confess along with St. Paul that there is one gospel revealed to us, and none other than Jesus Christ himself. God's promise that announced John says, "Behold, I send my messenger." God's promise to us could be said this way: "Behold, I have set my entire word in Holy Scripture before you, the word that will prepare the way before you to be a light for your path toward the truth of Jesus Christ." Blessed are you who hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed are you when in your own moments of doubt and discouragement, you turn toward your Savior in faith and prayer rather than away from him in arrogance and offense. Jesus is the one. Look for no other. Rejoice over the announcement of his birth. Recognize he lives and works among us in this place. And rest in the comfort of his unending grace. For he, and he alone, has come for us all. Amen.